And Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you are greater, stronger, higher than anything, Lord. If you are for us, who can be against us? Lord, help us to take hold of that confidence that we're in you, we're unstoppable, Lord. So Father, I pray you pour out your spirit upon this room, that everyone in here would meet you in such a special way, that today would not just be a church service, but it would be a life-changing event. Lord, that we expect everything that you have to offer. So Lord, bless this time. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, family. How are you guys doing? Morning, Steve. Well, as you guys know, some of you guys heard, some of you guys came in late, Pastor Mark is sick. I got a phone call about 6:30 this morning, actually getting in the car on my way here, where Sherry basically was on the other line with Terry, seeing who was going to teach for Mark. So basically, I got in the spirit, got out of the flesh, and said, okay. So first, of course, I don't want to do this. Scary. But it's good to be here this morning. I want to go ahead and pray for Pastor Mark one more time, and we'll kind of slide into the message. I got some stories that's going to kind of lead into the message that the Lord wanted me to present to you guys this morning. I'm going to kind of talk about what happened last weekend. We had a retreat. It was absolutely amazing, but one of the most difficult. And there's reasons why, because when you're doing things for the Lord, of course, in the spiritual realm, the adversary does not like what we're doing. So Lord, of course, he's going to take off the gloves and start taking his pop shots. So Father, we come before you, Lord, and we lift our pastor up to you. Lord, as Bill prayed earlier, Lord, that you would just be with him in his bed of affliction. Lord, that you would give him a peace that surpasses. Lord, that he would not feel guilty in any way of not being here. That he would be able to take the rest that you had given him right now. We pray you would heal him and bring him back to us. So, Lord, we just lift him up to you and place him into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you can open your Bibles, and I'll get there in a few minutes, I promise. John 3:16. But as a lot of you guys know, we just had a retreat last weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and the theme was why. And putting on a retreat, it's always interesting. Because Satan, of course, does not want it to happen, so he's going to throw hiccups, speed bumps, you name it, in there, on and off. Of course, I have an affliction. I have some bad lungs. The Lord has delivered me from a lot of stuff in the last few months. He's given me a peace that surpasses, of course. You know, we always get those weak points where, you know, you kind of, I think like a couple of days or a week before the retreat, I got hit hard, so I kind of reverted back to being a baby, but that was short-lived, so praise God. But again, with the physical problem, planning a retreat, and then Friday night, of course, that's when, you know, game's on, so to speak. I mean, Thursday night, always the night before the retreat. So it's game on. First, it goes after two of my leaders. Of course, you know, fighting, of course, wants to get in between me and my wife. Then we get it Friday morning. Everything's, you know, getting back to normal. Everything's cool. And people showing up late for, you know, we meet at 3 o'clock. People not getting here on time. And if you're here, I'm not mad at you. If you were the ones that were late. Don't think I'm trying to nail you. But just all these little things to try to get us in moods, to try to get us frustrated. So we get up. Everything's cool. We get out. We stop in and out, everyone's having fun, we're eating, then we go up the hill. That's the fun part. Everyone thought it was going to be snowing on us. No, clear weather, it was cool. You know, some of us got lost, turned around, and one of my leaders that was driving kids, car broke down 20 miles from the retreat center. So that was interesting. So we all get there, we're already late, it's about, I don't know, almost 9 o'clock. Pastor Mark and Sherry are already up there. Praise God, they're just patient. Humble and show a lot of grace. And they're just happy just hanging out with the kids. So we finally get up there, had to send Greg back to go pick up some kids from the car because there was kids in the car that broke down. Nothing bad, just a hose, whatever, Satan's attacking. And then the kids come back and they go, and it was Tom, Gib, and Greg, three of, you know, my leaders that I could like to have. They're out there. They don't get back. Oh, like 3:30. The tow truck got lost forever, you know, and then finally get the car back, and it's still not fixed. So the whole weekend, we're wondering, you know, and kind of like fast forward a little bit, you know, Gib and I and Greg, we got to find the part, place to put it in. Everything was shut down because it started snowing like crazy on Saturday. So let me go back to Friday. So Friday, finally, Pastor Mark gets up there. It's a blessing. You know, Jessica comes up with her daughter. That was just the car that broke down. Her daughter is getting sick. She's been a little bit sick. She gets sick, so she's kind of stuck in the cabin almost all weekend with her and the baby. And she's actually one of the worship teams. So that is just brewing. Just everyone, Satan's really trying to get us discouraged, get us in conflict with one another. And it's really easy to do when everything, especially when all the loose ends aren't tied up yet. Because Gibbs out there Sunday morning, blizzard, trying to put this hose in. At the end of the day, it's still not got done. We didn't get the car back on what, until Friday? This Friday. So sitting up there for a whole week. But anyways, then we went Saturday. Awesome time. Greg and Jessica Wendell, they shared, they taught us their anniversary. So they came up on their anniversary, taught for the kids. It was great. Then it starts snowing, so we all ran outside, and the snow winds coming down on the kids. Some of them never experienced snowfall on them, so it was really great. Until Sunday when I prayed that it would melt. Because, man, we're digging that stuff out. But then just little things throughout the day. Nothing really huge. Things like, you know, Gibbs trying to get the things. His car got stuck on the road up to the retreat thing because we didn't have change yet. And he was sliding, so he was stuck and just everything. And then, you know, hitting on Jessica, then me. You know, it's like, okay, Lord. Okay, we're just going to submit to you. And what I love about it, too, I know all my leaders. I know all their personalities. And I was very, very blessed and encouraged to see how much the Holy Spirit was working in them. No one freaked out. No one turned into a jerk. No division was caused within the body. There was just one little schism Saturday night between Jessica and I because she was freaked out because they were stuck in the snow. They walked in the snow. She said something. I took it the wrong way. I didn't want conflict, so I just walked back to the meeting room. But what's cool, it was short-lived. Because we knew what was happening. Guys, there's the battle. A battle for souls. Because there's a lot of kids that came to that retreat that weren't saved. There's a lot of kids that were backslidden. A lot of kids that have a very shallow surface relationship with God. Then you have some that are on fire, encouraged, but at the same time is dealing with their own stuff. Because every time you go on a retreat, the enemy's after everybody. And Saturday night, I usually don't do a Saturday. I was able to teach Saturday night with the afterglow. Kids got saved. It was a time of breaking. The Holy Spirit was poured in that room like no other. But then around 12 o'clock, I go to bed. And usually I don't sleep, so that was kind of cool. But then I'm in the guy's cabin. We're all in one cabin. And it's like a little A-frame. And there's two sides. There's an A side and a B side. And there's a little compartment in the middle where I was at. I kind of am in the center of everything, of course. Had the two doors shut. I fall asleep. It was around 2 o'clock in the morning. And first I thought it was a dream, but I woke up. I don't know, but I remember everything. It was so real. All of a sudden, I feel like I was being electrocuted. I grabbed the side of the bunk. Remember, I'm in a wood bunk. Grabbed the side of the bunk, and I was basically screaming. Tom and Shad, two of my leaders, they heard me. It sounds like I was getting electrocuted. They was freaking out. So they came in there. By the time they came in, somehow I gyrated out of the bed. My head was up here. By the time they got here, I was facing this way, kind of curled up. And I was shaking and I couldn't breathe. And then they're like, Tom prayed over me, just asking. I couldn't really talk. And then I just explained, like, I don't know what just happened. I was electrocuted. So the first thing, of course, we're looking around the room, see if lightning struck or water got in there. And there was nothing. Guys, we really believe it was a demonic attack. I felt some crazy stuff back in the day, you know, some weird stuff, but not like this. It was real. I really felt like I was being electrocuted. To get out of the bed, I have a bruise from right here, all the right here, you know, just trying to get out of that thing. It was just one of the most scariest things in the world. But what was awesome is I know why it was happening. Okay, I have the answer to the question why, because I'm doing the Lord's work. Guys, when you really buckle down and living out your faith and the calling God has for you, there is spiritual attacks. There's a spiritual realm that the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? It's a spiritual thing. And the enemy does not want people to know Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. And all of us are called in some way to live out our faith, to bring people to the knowledge. Of course, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit filling you to be like the men's retreat is going to be the ambassadors of Christ to lead people to the kingdom of God. So then Sunday morning, Mike Zeckley and Martha came up. Awesome. They actually endured and got up there. And then by the time they got up there, and after his message, blizzard time. And it kind of calmed down, and like then they were going to lunch. So me and Tom kind of faded out an hour before because we had to put the chains on. We had to, there was snow up to here. I mean, we have pictures that you can see like the doors and everything. So we're shoveling, putting chains on. Of course, two of the chains didn't fit, so we had to go to 7-Eleven and buy chains. Beat that. And it was just, and there was one time when me and Mike had to go back and get more, and it was just white out. You couldn't see nothing. We're driving, and it was just complete white. You know, it's like, okay, Lord, this is all you. But what's awesome is everyone getting cold, shoveling snow. We were just having fun. I think me and Tom had the best time throwing snow at each other, just being kids. It's like, what else can you do? Get mad about it? Well, it ain't going to help. Let's have fun while we do this. Then coming down the mountain, issues. We didn't get back here until about, what, 8:30? Yeah, 8 o'clock. Usually we're around here around 3, 3:30. We're inching down the mountain. And with that came challenges, slipping and sliding, potential going over cliffs, you know what I'm saying? And there were some close calls. But when we got back here, you know, and I can't speak for all my leaders, but I know now, talking to them now, is one of the most amazing retreats because it was so real. We really experienced the dark side, so to speak. And again, it wasn't attacking the kids. The kids were great, having them, you know what was going on. It was going after almost all the leaders. And I like that because it was a growing experience for all of us. And really asking, why are we doing this? You know, it's a calling, guys. Each of you have a calling in this room to live out for Christ. You know, so we did cover all your guys' prayers because I know it's the prayers of the saints that helped us out to keep us calm. And, you know, I didn't throw anybody off the cliff, praise God, you know. Because, I mean, it gets frustrating, you know, when everything seems to be going wrong. But anyways, with that, that's my big old intro into the message. And again, I got a phone call this morning, already had a message for the kids. I was going to talk about kind of waiting on the Lord and being consistent. And then I'm in, Josh gave me a ride, so I'm in the truck. And all of a sudden, it's like, I didn't have a peace with that. I'm like, okay, great. I have like an hour to do a message. Well, that's going to be great. So the Lord's like, you know what? Why don't you do the message that you taught Saturday night for the kids? I want the sanctuary to hear it. I'm like, okay. What's funny is I didn't have my notes. Up there, Jessica, both Jessicas, Greg, and I think Gib, weren't even able to be there for that main service. They came at the kind of the tail end of it. So I gave Greg and Jessica Wendell my notes so they can go over and be blessed. So I called Greg and went, hey, bro, you got my notes? He goes, yeah, I'll bring them. So I'm sitting here. I have both messages on my desk. Okay, Lord. Because I'm looking at my other message waiting for Greg. I'm like, wait a minute. I like this one. This one's good, you know? And Lord's like, no, teach him why. So you guys are going to get the message that I taught Saturday night. And the theme of our retreat was why. There's all these different questions. Why? But if you are a believer, or if you're maybe you're not a believer and you're asking why you're not, why not? God has done so much for us. Why can't we live for him? Why can't we be consistent? Why can't we be filled with the power that comes from on high to live out the life he's called us to live? So with that, we're going to read John 3:16 to give us a little bit of answers on why. And I'm going to kind of get, you know, some basic stuff and kind of lead as when we do believe the spiritual battle that it entails. Because if you're serving the Lord, even if you're trying to get your life right, because I got some wayward kids back in the day, I knew 15, 16 years old, now they're young adults, now they're back, they want to live for God, but they're getting nailed. No work, no money, you know what I'm saying? You know, they want to start their lives where they had jobs, they had money, and now God has brought them back to total dependence on him. And that's uncomfortable, isn't it? So a lot of cool stuff happening. But right here, John 3:16, and I hope you guys all know this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting love. Why did he do it? Because God is love. He first loved us, and we obtain this by faith. Okay, to receive Jesus, to receive salvation. Why did he have to come? Well, way, way back when God created everything, he created man, he created woman, set up them in the Garden of Eden, gave them a free will and said, don't eat this. Well, they ate it. Eve was deceived. Sorry. Someone get him and make him go away. One of the youth are back there. Gotta love them. Anyways, sorry, had a moment. But again, the reason why he had to come, because sin entered in. God's given us a free will to serve him or not. He doesn't want us to be a bunch of robots, because you can't have a relationship like that. He wants us to choose him, because he's already chosen us. And he proved it for what he did on the cross. So with that, turn with me to Romans chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 6, that Christ took our place. And this is why he had to do it. And it was all an act of love, my friends. Romans chapter 5, written by the Apostle Paul, the church at large in Rome. First part of it I love, because faith triumphs in trials. That's so true, man. I know a lot of us are learning this. I know a lot of my leaders and adults and people I hang out with that are really living a life for Christ are understanding that, you know what, the only that thing that's going to triumph in our trials is faith in Jesus Christ. You guys got to understand that. And trials are beneficial. They're not always fun and they're painful, but it's to help us to grow. It's to help to refine us, help to build the characteristics of Christ in us. So that's kind of the first five verses, but I want to focus on verse 6, where it talks about Christ in our place. And if you guys are, probably most of you guys are in New King James, but I'm going to go ahead and read it from the Living, and no, I'm not testing next to anybody. I'm using my technology here. I love the YouVersion Bible on this. So anyways, I'm reading from the New Living Translation because it just breaks it down. And it says right here, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Though some, one might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God has been restored by the death of his son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved. We will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So guys, he made everything and it was perfect. Then sin entered in by one man, Adam, and then by another man made everything right. As he did the ultimate sacrifice by dying on the cross. As God came down as a man. Guys, feedback. You guys got to get the grip. Jesus is God. There's so many different ministries out there. There's so many different false teaching that are saying that, you know what? No. He's a prophet. He was this. He was that. No. He was God. You look at the Gospels. You look at the Gospel of John. Prove that he is the Son of God, and through him and him alone you have eternal life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So why did he do this? Just an act of love. Because he created us and he wants to spend eternity with us. It's as simple as that. We have to take it hold by faith, but really under the magnitude of that, that we are bypassing God's wrath and entering into God's presence, and one day we'll spend eternity with him. But while we're waiting, that's the fun part. Okay? So what I'm going to hit on now is very interesting. I'm going to ask some questions, and I'm going to ask some of you guys if you guys want to answer them. Kind of an interactive kind of thing. This is kind of a youth group thing we roll. But these questions came from a young lady that's getting involved in youth as a leader. She grew up here at the church, and she's been going to church. God led her over here, and she's kind of getting her feet wet. This is her second retreat with us, and I kind of threw a little bit more. But all of a sudden, Wednesday night before the retreat, she texts me, and she was like pondering on the theme, why? And then she asked like these amazing questions. And at first, when I first read it, it was Wednesday, you know, before church, so I kind of, oh, that's cool. And then like, and I even forgot to text her back, so I felt bad. But then afterwards I looked at it, I'm like, wow, that's amazing stuff. Okay? And I didn't plan on using it in my message. The message I had was scrapped an hour or 2 hours before my message Saturday, because I wasn't even going to go to dinner. I didn't want to walk all the way down. They put us in the farthest place, all the way up there. But it's cool. Sometimes they can pick me up in a golf cart, so it was kind of cool. But so I was like, you know what? Lord's doing something. I'm going to sit here, wait on him, because I have no idea. Because I started reading the text message. I'm like, man, this is something I think I need to share. But that means orchestrate a whole new message. So I got done, and it moved me because it convicted me. It shows me sometimes I do this. So this isn't really for the faint of heart, but you know what? This is what it is. And here's one of the questions. So if we believe in him, then why do we keep going against God? He died for us and doesn't ask anything in return than to live for him. So why? Very powerful. I think all of us in this room have experienced that, haven't we? Why do we keep going against him? Well, we know it's a spiritual battle. We'll get into that a little bit more. Here's another. Does anybody like to answer that? I like the whole personal, because for everyone it's a little bit different. Don't make me pick you guys. Mark. Yes. And we're going to get in that too. We're going to be in Romans chapter 7 in a minute. Of course. Where else would you go? But anyway, what else, guys? Well, you know what? Our selfishness, our pride. But that's all the flesh. That's all of our sinful nature that's supposed to die. But how come we still feed it? Then we find ourselves doing this. Here's the next question. Why do we turn the one person who loves us the most away? Jesus loves you more than anything. And why do we push him away? Our flesh. But I want you guys, as I ask these questions, to examine what part of the flesh is getting away and why is it so alive? Think about that. I really had to ask my questions, because going through my stuff with my physical infirmity and stuff is like, I lost some faith. I didn't trust him the way I want. I know Mark wants to say something right now. Don't do this. Check this out. And I'm seeing you're getting in front of a message. And it does talk about that there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Okay, but there's that battle against the flesh and the spirit. We'll get into that. And one more. Why is it so hard to glorify him when he did all the work by dying on the cross for us? He made it so much easier for us that if we would just take the simplicity of the gospel, sit at his feet, read his Bible every day, where a lot of us neglect undoing that or spending adequate time in the Word of God, not just reading, studying it, to give every man an answer for the hope that lies within you, to know the answers to some of the why questions. Because we can't be ignorant when people ask us, well, why do you believe in Jesus? And we're like, because the Bible says so. There needs to be some depth to it. There's a lot of surface, shallow Christianity. And I think that's why the church at large is weak. Where we need to step up and know the answers to some of the questions. There's going to be some whys that he's not going to reveal to us till the day we go home. All he said is what? Trust. Trust. Trust me. Follow me. Trust me. And we make it so much more difficult than it has to be. I want you guys to reflect on these questions and see where you're at. And again, Mark and I kind of revealed to you guys, because of our flesh, our sinful nature, that wars against us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, I'm not going to be able to hit all of it, but basically he hits on the law. The law was never intended to save us. It just shows how much deprived we are and how much we need God, right? In a nutshell. So he goes talking about freed from the law, sin's advantage in the law, and the law cannot save from sin. Okay, then we're going to get in the part right here where even the Apostle Paul was going through this. In verse 19, in Romans chapter 7, it says, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will do not, not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then another law that is evil, or another law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good." So basically, I kind of butchered that. But the things you don't want to do, you find yourself doing. The things you want to do, you don't do. That's that spiritual battle. That's, you know, that's why we're called to walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. If you're indulging in the things of the flesh, then what are you feeding? You're feeding your flesh. I remember a long, long time ago, and maybe Daniel and Jessica remember, I went at a purity seminar in San Juan Capistrano. I think it was Dobson's son was teaching, and he was talking about, you know, the flesh and the spirit. It's like, basically, when you get your life right, basically, you have that sinful nature always there. It's like carrying around a dead body. So basically, then you have like a chest or something with a chain, he's like dragging it. Or no, it was a mannequin, like a dead body. He's like dragging it. It's going to be with us. But what are you feeding? The flesh or the spirit? Because we're not called to walk according to the flesh, but to the spirit. Now check this out. This is from my study Bible, so I can't take credit for this, but it's really good. It says, "One of the laws of the physics is that anything in motion causes friction. Similarly, one of the laws of the spiritual realm is that any motion or progress in the pursuit of godliness will produce friction. As it confronts the carnality of our human nature, in our human nature. In Paul's pursuit of godly living, note his comment, which is evident when he writes, 'I will to do.' To exercise the will is to determine or choose or commit to do something. In Paul's case, he wills to do good, that is, to resist the flesh's natural drift towards unworthy, immoral, or self-serving. Note also the conflict. Evil is present. That is, there is no escape from human inclinations except through the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. You have to let the third person of God take over and control your life. How do you do that? You need to feed the Spirit. You need to sit at His feet. Your whole life has to be consumed with Him, because His whole life is consumed with you. He proved it on the cross. Guys, I think we take Him for granted. We water down our walks for whatever reason, from selfishness to legit stuff that we're just not trusting in. But at the end of the day, He's always, if you are His, He's always trying to get your attention to show you His love to bring you back to reality. No matter what you're going through, He's right there with you. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be friction. Especially if you get up and start really serving the Lord, living out your calling that He has for you, there's going to be friction. There's going to be that spiritual battle. Because in the spiritual realm, the adversary and his little buddies does not like us. And he wants to cause us to lose focus, become useless, and maybe even cause people to turn away from the Lord. Because I've seen that too. Check this out. Let's read verse 22. "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, what a wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death?" Here's the answer. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of the Lord, or the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." In verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 1, "There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in it was weak through the flesh, God did it by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man, sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law may be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." What are you walking in? Think about that. At the same time, man, what, these things are convicting. I don't care if I'm preaching it, teaching it, or producing it. It's the Holy Spirit. It's, guys, we need to understand the magnitude of the battle here. Yes, the Son set free, you are free indeed. We've been forgiven of our sins. But we still have a responsibility to live a life that brings glory to Him. We have the responsibilities to be the ambassadors, the ministry of reconciliation, to bring people into the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when they ask why, you should be able to give them a legitimate answer. What I found out too, what works for me, I'm not an evangelist. You know, I can share my faith. I can go up to anybody. I don't care and tell them what's up. But that's not really my style. Mine is by building relationships. That's how I get with the kids. I build the relationships. They know who I am, what I'm about, and I live it as best as possible. You know what I'm saying? I'm human. Make mistakes. We all make mistakes in here, right? Okay, praise God. But guys, what I've heard the most about what the kids respond to and other people, even adults, that you're real. People are tired of counterfeit and fakes, or buying into something that's leading them high and dry. Be a person of integrity and of faith, knowing where you stand with Christ, and not in denial of the things that you need to continue to give over to Him. How many of you struggle with selfishness? Pride? We just keep our hands up all day long, you know what I'm saying? But God's grace. God's grace. So we repent. We just ask for forgiveness and move on. It's good to just ask for forgiveness. Even though we're forgiven, we need to ask for forgiveness. Because it makes it so much more real. Amen? I want to stay in constant communication. I don't want my walk to get weak or stale or dry. You know, we use this term in youth group, you know, we're getting laxed. Getting too relaxed, man. We're kind of slipping here, you know what I'm saying? We're not really reading our Bibles the way we should. We're not spending enough time. Maybe we let some of the world creep in and we're trying to adapt into their ways and building up their characteristics and not God's. The call is to commit to godliness with relentless persistence. There's a higher law that assures victory as we overcome fleshly friction. Pressing forward in the determined, passionate pursuit of Christ. Are you passionate for your Savior? Think about that. Are you in passionate pursuit of Him? Or if He's just a substitute, an adjective? You know what I'm saying? We believe He's cool. He's done a lot in my life. But you haven't let go and give Him your entire heart. You've just given Him pieces. It's time to surrender. We see this, sing the songs, surrender, we lift our hands. You know what? When we surrender, we should go like this and give it up to Him. I surrender everything and mean it. And mean it when things get tough. Mean it when things don't make any stinking sense. Because living in this world doesn't make a whole lot of sense sometimes, does it? But we have to maintain our faith, knowing that He's in control. And like we said, if God is for us, who could be against us? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Again, this is the Apostle Paul. It's going to sound familiar. Same author, talking about the same subject. Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. You know, if you look all over the New Testament, it always talks about walking in the Spirit. Chapter 5 of Galatians, starting with verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's a promise right there. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now check this out. Here's another thing I'm jacking from my Bible. The flesh as an enemy is a New Testament idea focusing on the carnal, inbred tendencies of fallen humankind. These inclinations are the most immediate enemy of the believer who desires to live a life under the control, influence, and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The Word says the desire alone to do good is not enough to overcome our flesh. Rather, we are called to war against the flesh, to live our lives in a tug of war as our flesh urges indulgence, and the Holy Spirit constrains us to righteousness. Guys, this is a battle. The desire alone is not enough. We have to war against our flesh, the things that's getting in the way of our relationship with Jesus Christ, the sinful nature that seems to be taking over where it shouldn't be even there. Just check this out. Let's continue on some of the stuff of the flesh. But let's look at verse 18 real quick. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, or drugs, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Straight up. Christians, you shouldn't be doing this. If you struggle, that's a different story. But if you're practicing these things, then are you who you think you are? Remember Judas? Everybody thought he was a follower, except for Jesus. And at the very end, when the rubber met the road, he did what he had to do. Sin entered him, and he did what he had to do. Guys, know who you stand for. Know your worth in Christ. Don't let the enemy mess with your head. Because a lot of times, man, as long as I've been doing this, I don't know how many times when I just drop the ball a little bit, it's like, man, how could you do that, pastor? Plus, my kids like to say that to me, too. They like to make fun of me. How could you do that? You're a pastor. You must not be saved. Anyone getting that? Maybe not the pastor part, but you know what I mean? You feeling me there? It's like, you know, how could you be doing this? You've been walking for how long? And you're what? And the enemy's just like, you know, hitting at your head and your heart. It's like, man, you got to rebuke that. Because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't buy into the lies. Okay? Ask for forgiveness and move on. Turn with me and we're going to wrap this up in a minute. James chapter 4. We're starting with verse 7. But before we go there, just kind of make sure everybody's on the right page. You know, we ask the question, why? And I say, why not? You know, God so loved the world. God came as a man and did what he had to do to pay the price for our sin because sin entered in through Adam and Eve. Okay, we got that. Now we know why he had to come. But why did he come? Honestly, because he loves you. As simple as that. And we need to receive God's love. And God's love will transform you. But as you believe, you're going to have the spiritual battle. You're going to have that battle from the flesh, the sinful nature, and walking in the Spirit. Guys, don't think. The Bible says you do not love the world or things in the world. The pride of life. All that other stuff I can't remember. But you guys know that if you start living for the world, you can't. You can't. Light and darkness don't mix. You know, you're for me or you're against me, Jesus says. But check this out. And now with that spiritual battle, we know what? We shouldn't be practicing. We know we need to be walking in the Spirit. And now in James chapter 4, verse 7, and I didn't come up with this clever saying, this is a little caption in my Bibles I'm not taking credit for, but I think it's really cool, is humility cures worldliness. I like that. Humility cures worldliness. In verse 7, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. There's another promise. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Let your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. That's a promise. Guys, are you practicing that? Are you submitting to God and resisting the devil? And if you do that, what does he say? He will flee from you. So when you're under attack and you resist the devil's temptation or wildly darts, you know, his little things that he throws in there, like up at the retreat, we drew near to God and he drew near to us and he gave us peace. And in that process, it had nothing to do with us. We just did what we were supposed to do and kids got saved and lives were changed. At least 5 or 6 kids got saved. Basically what I did, because I don't know where everyone's at. I can't keep tabs on all that. But all of a sudden, I'm like, you know what? It's a first-time commitment, rededication. Maybe you just want the fullness of Christ. Everybody stand up. And everybody, even some of my adults, just simultaneously stood up. And we did the sinner's prayer together. Yeah, praise God. That's for the Lord, man. And just by guys, the reason why we do retreats, the reason why we have service, the reason why we do this extracurricular stuff is for people to come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and also to build up the body. You know, we don't do this in vain, or at least we shouldn't do it, because sometimes ministries do things in the flesh. We got to be careful. That's not us. I'm going to have the band come on up. I'm going to close with 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 13. This is what we need to be doing, guys. Chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Guys, that's living before our God the Father. And that's the way we need to live, our conduct that brings glory to him. As walking in the Spirit, walking in the light of the Lord is going to shine on people. Walking with Jesus exposes sin in our lives and people around us. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict those and bring them. And God sometimes wants to use us as vessels. You know, I hope God answered maybe some of your questions. I don't care what why question. Ask you this. Why not? Some of you guys maybe don't know the Lord. Maybe you're backslidden. You have all these questions. Why? Stop asking so many questions and just trust him. Give him a shot. See what he can do. Because I'll tell you right now, he can transform your life. You know, I want you guys walking out here. Why not? Even if you guys have been walking for a while and you feel like discouraged, want to give up. Why not continue in your walk? So, Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for the answers to questions. We thank you for even unanswering questions at times. Lord, that we will learn to submit, that we will learn to be obedient and trust you no matter what. No matter what life brings us, we can continue to have that peace and that joy as we abide in you through the power of your Spirit. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And after the song, I want you guys to really, well, during the song, I really want you guys a time of reflection, a time to really examine where you're at, where you need to be, and where the Lord is at in your life. Again, I don't know where you guys are, if you need to make that first time, maybe rededication. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you're too lax. Maybe you're burnt out or numb. You know what I'm saying? God can meet you, restore you, and refuel you. So as we sing this song, meditate on the Lord and answer the call when he asks. Amen? So let's go for it. Lord, that we're your very own, and you proved it by dying on the cross. So Lord, help us to live for you. No holds barred. Lord, help us to walk in your Spirit, to experience the fullness of Christ, that we could be able to share our faith by shining bright for you. And Father, I do pray, Lord, if anyone is in this room that needs to make a decision, again, if it's first time, rededication, maybe it's just to repent or from some stuff, or maybe you just need a refueling, I pray right now as I'm praying that they would stand to their feet. If anyone needs to make any type of decision, don't be shy. Stand to your feet. We can pray together. God is calling you to take a stand for him. And whatever it is, that you need to make it right today. So, Father, I do pray for the ones who are standing. I pray, Lord, that you would just help them, Lord, to seek you. Help them, Lord, to see your hand on their life. That you would lead them into a tight, intimate relationship with you. And as the ones are standing, you guys, your eyes are closed, hopefully, and heads bowed, repeat after me. Let's do this, congregation. Dear Jesus, forgive us of our sins. Come into us and make us whole. Help us, Lord, to be filled, to walk in your Spirit, and to live for you. Help us, Lord, when times are tough, to trust in you. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to do another song. Greg got off easy last time. But if you made a decision, you need prayer, the prayer room's open. Please do not leave this place until you talk to someone. We love you. We want to talk. We want to cry with you. Whatever it takes, we want to do it with you. You know what I'm saying? We want you guys to experience the fullness of Christ. We want you guys to have a legitimate relationship with you. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue to worship. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that your grace is enough. Lord, that we are saved by grace through faith. Help us to walk in your love, Lord. Help us, Lord, to let you answer the questions that we have, Lord, that we would trust you, that we would grow and walk in your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to reach this world for you, that more people would come to the kingdom. So, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for your love. And everybody says, amen. You guys need prayer, please. Prayer room is open. Don't leave here without, getting something.